بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our session number 6 or 7, reading from الدعاء الذي لا يرد, يعني the dua that is not rejected. And this book is based upon a brief mention of some of the most important things which a person who is supplicating to Allah should observe in their, yani from the sunnah, in their dua, by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, and the commentary on those points, 13 or 14 points, are from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. So this evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the next point, which is point number 11. Last week we covered points 9 and 10. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at point number 11, or the matter, the 11th matter. Before doing so, we're going to take a quick look at some of the things that we covered in the previous session. The first question from the questionnaire study guide number 6 from last week. The first question is mentioned, Al-Amr At-Tasiya, the 9th matter which the person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. The 9th matter which the person who is supplicating to Allah must give attention to. Now.
being persistent and not being impatient with an answer from Allah.
Now. Al-Ilha. That a person is persistent in asking Allah and not becoming impatient to the extent that they get tired of asking and they give up asking Allah. Now. Question number 2. The supplication of one of you is answered as long as he is not impatient. How is this impatience explained in the hadith? How is it explained? How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explain? What is this impatience that he's saying? Yani a person's dua will be answered as long as they do not become impatient. Now.
Impatient. Oh. How is this impatience explained?
MashaAllah. Now, Muhammad. Naam, that's the meaning of it, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, your dua will be answered as long as you are not impatient, he explained to them what he means by impatient. What did he say in the hadith? Yani the words of the hadith, what did he say? Naam. Yani being impatient is that a person does what? Naam.
When saying, I supplicated to my Lord, what I was not answered.
The person saying, da'autu Rabbi, falam yustajab li. I supplicated to my Rabb, and no answer was given to me. And the Prophet ﷺ explained what he meant by being impatient. That a person supplicates once or twice or a few times, they didn't get an answer immediately, so they gave up supplicating because they didn't think any answer is coming. This is what he means by being impatient. The opposite is that a person should be patient and they should be persistent and they should continuously ask Allah again and again and again and not become tired of making dua. Especially since, as Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentions, as we conveyed last week, especially if a person considers that dua is ibadah, and every time you supplicate, that's worship that's being recorded on your behalf. Now, question number 3, which name of Allah is repeated in the final ayat of Surah Ali Imran as a means of getting one's dua accepted? What is the name of Allah that was repeated in these final ayats of Surah Ali Imran? Naam. Okay, naam. The name, Ar-Rabb, naam. Yani, of course, if you are calling on Allah, you're saying, Ar-Rabb, naam. But the name, Ar-Rabb, was repeated again and again and again with that expression, yani, Rabbana, Rabbana. And we mentioned previously that this is also, yani, from the most commonly used names of Allah that's mentioned in the Quran from the Prophets and other than that. And that's because of the meaning of Ar-Rabb as being the one who owns, who created, who controls, and who manages all the affairs of everything in the universe. Therefore, who better can one call upon than the one who owns all of this? Question number 4. How does the author explain the word tamalluq, translated as flattery, when being persistent in making dua? Yani, tamalluq means what? In reference to a person being persistent in dua. Naam.
when he explained it as flattery in the means to be kind and to try to win someone's favor when asking for something.
Okay, naam. Yani, addressing someone in a way, yani, that will win their favor and get what it is that you are, yani, trying to receive from them. And also the Shaykh mentioned that from the meanings of a tamalluq, yani, is that a person supplicates with adab, yani, in a proper mannerly fashion, and that the person displays their dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person is in need of what is with him. Question number 5 mentioned al-amr al-ashir, the 10th matter, which the person supplicating to Allah must give attention to, the 10th matter that we discussed last week. Naam.
Combining between hope and fear.
Abdullah, right? Abdullah. Naam. Again?
Combining between hope and fear.
Combining between hope and fear. Yani, that a person is supplicating to Allah, and this is in dua, and it's in other acts of worship as well, that a person should, yani, combine between hope and fear. Question number 6. How does Allah describe the dua of the Anbiya in the Quran? In the 21st surah, 90th ayat, where he says, the meaning of which is, and they used to supplicate to us. They used to supplicate to us, and how? How is it described now? Duwali.
With hope and fear, and they used to humble themselves towards Allah.
With hope and fear, and they used to humble themselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, yada'unana raghaban wa rahaban wa kanu lana khashi'in. Question number 7. The author has explained the word al-raghba as having hope in what? As having hope in what? Naam, fadl.
Having hope of that which is with Allah, and while he is hopeful for its grace and bounty.
Naam, having hope for what is with Allah. Yani, of his grace and his bounty, his favors and his blessings. Having hope of receiving those things that, yani, are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his believing servants. Question number 8. The author has explained the word al-rahba as having fear of what? Fear of what? Yani, that a person has, yani, raghba and rahba. Rahba, fear of what? Naam. Fear of Allah's punishment and also fear of the rejection of one's dua. Naam. Question number 9. In the second surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, 127th ayat, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam supplicates to Allah with ishfaq, fear of his deed, yani, being, fear of his deed not being accepted, in spite of the fact that, what? In spite of the fact that what? Yani, why is it that he shouldn't have had fear that his yani, deed would be accepted? Because what?
He did it correctly.
Okay, because he did it correctly, yani, the Shaykh didn't mention specifically that, but for sure, yani, that's one of the reasons why a deed should be accepted, if it's done correctly and sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Naam.
Despite him having strong will and determination.
In spite of the fact that he was from amongst those messengers that are described as having strong will and determination. Yani, those few messengers that Allah distinguished from the rest of them as being superior and above the other messengers. He's described as being one of them. And he is one of those messengers from the nearest, not of the people, the nearest of the messengers of Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of that, he still was in fear of his deed being accepted. What else did the Shaykh mention? Another reason why it's amazing that he's in fear of his dua being accepted when he's from the Ulul Azm, min al-Rusul. Naam. Because the deed that he was doing is from the most noble of all deeds, yani, the building or the rebuilding of the house of Allah, al-Haram, yani, the Kaaba in Mecca. Naam. And the Shaykh mentioned one other thing. Naam. That Allah had taken him as his Khalil. Yani, Allah specifically chose him as his Khalil. Yani, as one who is dear and near to him, above and distinguished from other prophets and messengers, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Prophet Muhammad, said Allah has also taken him as a Khalil. Naam. So in spite of all of these reasons, he is in fear that his deed might not be accepted. Then what about anyone else? Ourselves for sure. Last question. Summarize the 10 matters which a person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. 10 matters that we discussed up until now. First of them, that a person should give attention to. In brief, quickly, one. presence of heart. That a person has consciousness, presence of heart and mind, and focusing on the thing that they're requiring. Number two, second thing he mentioned. The times, yani looking for the specific virtuous times in which dua is more likely to be accepted. The third thing he said, al-khushu' in the heart, that a person is, yani is in a state of humbleness and yani acknowledging their need and desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth one, facing the qibla. Fifth one, tahara, being in a state of tahara. Sixth one, raising the hands. Seventh one, begin with the praising of Allah and glorifying Allah, and along with that he attached to it the salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's seven? Seven. Eight. Eight, nine, and ten. Eight. Istighfar. Yani preceding the dua with tawbah and istighfar. Nine.
States a need to repent.
Yeah, yani repentance, yani repenting, yani a person repenting and seeking forgiveness from Allah. Okay, yani ilha, yani that a person is persistent in asking Allah again and again and again with this, yani tamalluq, flattery, or yani asking Allah in a way, yani observing good manners, respect, humility, asking Allah in that way, even though a person is persistent, because a person being persistent can be aggravating, can be agitating. A person keeps coming to you every day saying the same thing, asking for the same thing. A person can get aggravated with that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, He requires, we can ask Him, He requires that we ask persistently, but in a humble, respectful, yani manner. And the last one, number 10, combining between Raghba and Rahba. Now, so these are some of the things that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to take the 11th matter of 13 matters that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions. And this 11th matter is beginning on page 34 in the Arabic text and 34 in the English translation. And this is, yani, even though it's coming down the line near the end of the things that he mentioned, it doesn't mean that it's less important. It is from the most important of matters, as we'll see, yani, in the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve, in his commentary or his explanation or comments concerning this 11th matter. So, the title of this matter is Al-Amru Al-Hadi Ashra, At-Tawassul Lillahi Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Bi-Asma'ihi Wa-Sifatihi Wa-Tawheedihi. Yani it is At-Tawassul, that a person does something as a means of seeking nearness to Allah, yani to gain His favor, His forgiveness, His pardon, or whatever it is the person is seeking. Yani doing something as a means of nearness, of getting near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for one's needs. So the Shaykh, he says, yani tawassul by the names of Allah, the asma of Allah, and the sifat of Allah, His characteristics or qualities that he is described with in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and his tawheed, yani asking Allah based upon Allah's tawheed, that a person recognize, acknowledge, and acts in accordance to what is required by the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani observing the rights of Allah that are exclusive to Him, that belong to Him alone, yani that He is singled out as being the only one who deserves worship, and He is singled out as being the only one who deserves these perfect, beautiful names, Al-Asma Al-Husna, and these lofty qualities, As-Sifat Al-Ulya, that belong to Allah exclusively, to the exclusion of anything else or anyone else in the creation. So the Shaykh says the 11th matter is what? Seeking nearness to Allah by His Sifat, His Asma, His Sifat, and His Tawheed. And he first discusses Asma wa Sifat, and he mentions, yani, examples of, yani, seeking nearness to Allah, tawassul, by the names and the characteristics or qualities of Allah. About this he mentions two ayats from the Quran, two examples, and a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or I should say two ayats from the Quran and two hadith. Naam. And concerning the iman and tawheed in Allah, he mentions one ayat and one hadith. Or perhaps we should say the one hadith is not just dealing with yani iman and tawheed, but rather is dealing with all of these means, the asma and the sifat and the tawheed of Allah, as we'll see when we come to the last reference that the Shaykh gives. So before we proceed to read what the Shaykh said, I want to just call to mind so that we can reflect and be clear on what we are seeking. What are we seeking? We're seeking to understand what are the things that we can do to have some assurance that when we are in need of anything, then the one that we're going to ask for our needs is Allah. And what are the guidelines, the instructions, the adab that are required of us when we supplicate to Allah so that there's a greater likelihood that our dua is going to be accepted. So from amongst those things are those which we mentioned already in our beginning of this session, the 10 things that we covered already, and from amongst them is this 11th matter, which is of extreme importance. We need to understand this and then try to call it to mind. When we are making dua, we should be thinking about this, that I need to call on Allah by His names and His sifat and His and the tawheed of Allah. And in my implementation, recognition, acknowledgement of Allah's tawheed, iman in Allah and tawheed of Allah. Yani, iman and tawheed, the Shaykh brought them together in his explanation of this point because of the fact that there are people who believe in Allah and who do not establish tawheed. Yani, there are people who believe in Allah, but their iman is corrupted because they don't, yani, acknowledge the tawheed of Allah. So we need to look at both of these. Okay, so the Shaykh, he begins by saying, التوصل إلى الله عز وجل بأسمائه وصفاته يعتبر من أعظم الوسائل في إجابة الدعاء. That this tawassul, seeking nearness to Allah, the mighty and the majestic, by His names and His sifat, is considered to be from amongst, من أعظم الوسائل. It is considered to be from amongst, one of the greatest wasail, yani one of the greatest wasila, means of the attaining the response to one's dua, yani that one's dua will be answered. From the greatest means of getting one's dua answered is yani at-tawassul ila Allahi bi asma'i wa sifati. Then the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِهِ. Yani Allah has commanded that we call upon Him, that we seek nearness to Him by His names and His sifat. And this is very important because it's not as though this is something optional that you can do it or don't do it. Rather, Allah has commanded us with this. This is a command. And as we know from the rules of usul, that a command in the Quran or in the Sunnah indicates that something is wajib, that it's obligatory. Therefore, we have to keep in our mind that perhaps, one of the reasons that our dua hasn't been answered is because we haven't been following these guidelines. We have not been calling Allah by His names and His sifat. And the Shaykh, he gives yani several examples, as I mentioned, from the Quran and from the Sunnah. Several examples, like six examples. Three examples from the Quran and three from the Sunnah, if I counted them correctly. So he says, Allah has commanded us with this. When He said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءَ الْحُسْنَى فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا, in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, 180th Ayat. And Allah is declaring definitively that to Allah alone belong Al-Asma Al-Husna. Al-Husna, yani Husna is the feminine form of Ahsan. And Ahsan doesn't mean good, it means the best. So Al-Asma Al-Husna means the best, most perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The names of Allah which are the best, better than everything else. They are, yani, the most perfect. He said, so to Him, to Allah alone, belong these Asma al-Husna. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Therefore, because they belong to Him, call upon Him. Allah orders us, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Then call upon Him by them, by these names that belong to Allah alone. Just briefly, I want to look at, yani, the tafsir that is mentioned for this ayat, or a little bit of it, yani, with Al-Imam Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. Just briefly, he mentions a point, and we're going to come to it in a little bit detail later on, but here I just want to stop here for a minute, because he makes a point here that is of real importance. In the Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayat in the Quran, He says, he mentions the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and we're going to look at this hadith in detail later, but for now I'm just going to refer to it for the point that he makes here. He says, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ عِسْمًا مِئَةٌ إِلَّا وَاحِدٌ مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. To the end of the hadith. That indeed, to Allah belongs 99 names. 100 except one. Yani 100 minus 1. 99 names. مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever, yani, enumerates them. Meaning, learns them. Understands their meanings and acts in accordance to what they require of us, then that person will enter the Jannah. This hadith is reported by Shaykhan, yani al-Bukhari and Muslim, al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and others. In Ibn Majah's narration, yani he says, yani al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir says, al-Tirmidhi, he added in his narration this extra wording that's not in the narration of Bukhari and Muslim. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن to the end. And he mentions 99 names in the narration of At-Tirmidhi. يعني Ibn Kathir, he doesn't mention all the names, he says, and he mentioned the name Al-Asma Al-Husna. ثم, then he says, and this is the key here, يعني in this narration of Tirmidhi, by the way, the mention of these 99 names in the narration of Tirmidhi is not authentic. Yani it's not considered to be authentic from the scholars of hadith that these are actually, yani, mentioned as these 99 names, as the 99 names from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it's not authentic that these names came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, ثم ليعلم أن الأسماء الحسنى غير منحصرة في 99. So know, he's saying then, after the mention of this hadith, know that the beautiful, perfect names of Allah are not limited to 99. They are not limited to 99. As perhaps a person might understand when they read this hadith, that to Allah belong 99 names, whoever enumerates them will enter paradise. And then in the narration of Tirmidhi, he mentions 99 names. Ibn Kathir is saying, not mentioning yani the authenticity of the narration of Tirmidhi or not, but really what he's saying here is, don't imagine that the meaning here is that Allah only has 99 names. But rather the meaning of this is that Allah has, from amongst His names, there are 99 particular, special names, which if a person were to, ahsaha, those names, if he were to learn them and understand them and act in accordance with them, he would enter the Jannah. Doesn't mean that Allah has only 99 names. Perhaps a person, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, says that I have 100 dinar or 100 rials, which I'm going to give in charity. Doesn't mean he only has 100, it means he has 100 that he's given in charity. And he has more that he's not given in charity. So Allah has many names, from amongst them there are 99, whoever, ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Okay, so that's the point that Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir is making here, that Allah's names are not limited to 99. And many times people ask the question, well, where can I find the 99 names of Allah? As though there's a place where you can find 99 names. The 99 names of Allah. Allah has many names. And yani, from amongst them are a special particular listing of 99 names which we need to look for and try to understand, learn the names of Allah, all of them, understand them and try to apply them in our lives. Here, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir mentions a hadith that the Shaykh mentions in our book, and we're going to come to it. But here I'm just alluding to it. Then he says, the proof of this, that Allah's names are not limited to 99, he said, بدليل, the delil of this is what has been added by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in his Musnad from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said that no person would be afflicted with worry or grief or sorrow, and then they recited this dua except that Allah would remove it from them, to the end of the hadith. And we're going to come to that hadith, but the point I want to make here is Hafiz ibn Kathir is saying that in this hadith there's a proof that Allah's names are not limited to 99, and we're going to see that proof is yani, that Allah says He has names which He has kept exclusively to Himself in the knowledge of the unseen that nobody knows. And He has names that He revealed in His book. He has names that He taught to anyone from amongst His creatures, a prophet or a messenger or angel. And He has names that no one knows, not even the prophets and the angels, and no human being. And this is the proof that what? Allah's names are, yani the 99 names of Allah that are mentioned in that hadith, yani are not the only names of Allah. Rather, Allah has many names that some people may know, a prophet or a messenger or angel, and the others won't know. But there are also names that yani no one will know except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also, and Hafidh ibn Kathir goes on to say, after he mentions this hadith, which we're going to read in its entirety when we come to it, he says, Ibn al-Arabi, not Ibn Arabi. And Ibn Arabi is a Sufi, deviant. Ibn al-Arabi, who was a Maliki scholar, he says in his book, Al-Ahwazi, the explanation of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he mentions that some of the scholars have gathered together from the Quran and from the Sunnah names of Allah equaling to 1,000 names. And then he says, فَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Yani, are there really 1,000? Allahu A'lam. But in any case, scholars have made an attempt to collect the names of Allah. Some of them came with different numbers, 100, 200, 300, he said. Yani, Ibn al-Arabi mentions that some scholars collected 1,000 names of Allah from the Quran and from the Sunnah. Okay, going back to the book. Now, after mentioning this ayat, which is a proof of this being a legitimate means of seeking nearness to Allah for one's dua to be accepted, rather that this is a means with which Allah has commanded us to call on Him by His names and His qualities or characteristics and His tawheed, he says, because Allah has commanded us to use His names and sifat to call on Him, He said, وَلِهَذَا كَانَتْ عَامَةِ الْعَدِيَّةِ الْمَأْثُورَةِ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءَ قَبْلَهُ تَجْتَمِلْ عَلَى التَّوَصُّلِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ فَيَجْتَمِلُ الدُّعَاءَ عَلَى مَا يُنَاسِبُهُ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصِفَاتِهِ. So he says that for this reason, yani because Allah has legislated this and commanded us, yani to call on Him by His names, he said, for this reason, most of the supplications which have been narrated to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the Anbiya before him, alayhi wasallam, the du'a that yani we found yani it contains or it entails from the names of Allah that which is yunasib, yani that which yunasibuhu, yani which is suitable for the thing that a person is asking for. Yani the name, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Prophet before him supplicated to Allah for something particular and they mentioned the name that was suitable, that was appropriate, that was related to the thing that they were asking for. The explanation of that is in the examples that the Shaykh mentions. So he explains that yani they ask Allah by those names that were appropriate to what they were asking for. He said, kama jaa fi du'a nabiyullah Shu'aib alayhi salam. And this is as it came in the supplication of the Prophet of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salam, when he said, Rabba naftah baynana wa bayn qawmina bilhaqqi wa anta khayrul fatihin. Yani, Shu'aib alayhi salam, he supplicated to Allah and he said, Rabbana, O our Rabb. And that's the name of Allah, right? He said, Yani, iftah baynana وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ يعني judge or rule between us and between our people with the truth, with the haq. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. And you are the best of the fatihin. The scholars of Tafsir, Ibn Kathir and others said, يعني the meaning of fatihin here means hakimin. يعني you are the best of those who judge. And the meaning of al-fati, يعني the scholars of the sunnah have explained it in different ways. But basically, يعني the linguistic meaning of al-fat is to open something. Like they say, Fathi Makkah, yani the opening of Mecca, meaning the conquering of Mecca, the overcoming or the conquering of the city of Mecca. So the opening here, some of the scholars said, like Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, that it has more than one meaning. It may be that Allah gives a person access to, reveals to them, opens their heart and their mind to receive certain knowledge, yani that distinguishes between truth and falsehood, between the people who are astray and the people who are rightly guided, and so on. And it also means that Allah makes accessible, gives a person, yani, from his bounties and favors, the things of this world or whatever, according to, yani, his wisdom. But in any case, here, the point is what? that Shu'ayb alayhi salam is saying, رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنِ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. He's saying, open for us, or judge, or rule for between us and our people with the truth, for you the best of those who judge. For you the best of those who judge. Another example, he said, وَجَاءَ فِي الدُّعَاءَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَرَزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Yani that the Messenger of Allah, Isa alayhi salam, in his dua, he said, وَرَزُقْنَا, and grant us rizq, provisions, sustenance. And you are the best of those who grant provisions or sustenance. Yani he's asking for rizq, and he's calling Allah by his name, yani الرَّازِقِ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. And this is these two examples. The first of them with the Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, which I think is 7, the number, I'm not really sure, 7 maybe. Anyway, Surah Al-A'raf, 89th ayat. And the second example, the example of Isa alayhi salam, is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. It's definitely the 5th chapter, 114th ayat. So these are two examples that the Shaykh mentions of what? Of yani a dua in which a person, yani in this case the Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam and the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, are asking for a particular thing, and they are calling Allah by the name that matches the thing that they are asking for. The third example that he gives is an example from the Sunnah. And this hadith, or this example from the Sunnah, is important for many reasons. It's important because it gives to us a dua that every one of us is in need of. That nobody is without need of this dua. Yani every Muslim is in need of this dua. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, how much piety you have, yani righteousness, whatever you have, iman, you are in need of this dua. And the proof of that is that the one who the Prophet ﷺ taught this dua to is the best of this ummah. Yani the best of all human beings after the prophets and messengers, and that is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So this is a dua that we need to learn, we need to memorize, and we need to use it every single day. So this is from the practical aspects of seeking knowledge, that a person learns something and then they use it. And then they use it. So the Shaykh, he says, وَكَانَ مِنْ دُعَاءَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ الَّذِي عَلَّمَهُ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Yani from the supplications of the Prophet which he taught to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, is Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira. This is the first of 4 parts of this supplication. Yani I have divided myself, the supplication into 4 parts. The first part, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira. Oh Allah, indeed, inni, definitely, I have wronged myself. Dhulman kathira. A lot of wrong. And some of the narrations said, dhulman kabira, a great wrong. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ is telling Abu Bakr to supplicate this supplication. Indeed, I have wronged myself. A lot. Which one of us has not? The second part he said, وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And there's no one who forgives sins except you, Allah. And you are the only one who forgives sins. For that reason, فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِكَ وَرَحَمْنِي. Therefore, you are the only one who forgives sins, so I ask you to forgiveness. A forgiveness from yourself. Warhamni, and to have mercy on me. And the last part of the supplication, innaka antal ghafur rahim. That he's asking for forgiveness, faghfirli, maghfiratan min indik, warhamni. So he's asking for forgiveness, and he's asking for mercy, and then he's closing the supplication by mentioning Allah's name, al ghafur, the one who forgives, and ar rahim, the one who, yani, is full of mercy. So, yani, 4 sentences, not a lot. Yani, even if a person learned 1 sentence every day, time we came back next week, we should all be supplicating with this dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira. O Allah, indeed, I have wronged myself a lot of wrong. Wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. And there's no one who forgives sins except you. Not the priests or the pope or anybody else, only Allah. Not the imam or the sheikh or anybody else, only Allah. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِكَ وَرْحَمْنِي. So forgive me a forgiveness that is from yourself, and have mercy upon me. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, you are the forgiving and the merciful. After this, the Shaykh mentions another hadith. So he mentioned 2 examples from the Quran, And this is the second example from the Sunnah. And this example from the Sunnah is also a very, very important hadith. As we'll see in the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is befitting, it is incumbent, it is expected that anyone who heard this dua, they should learn it. Whoever heard it, he said, they should learn it. And the people asked him, and he said, yes, whoever learned it, whoever heard it, they should learn it. So this hadith, the previous hadith, yani of the dua that was taught to Abu Bakr is in Bukhari and Muslim. And this particular hadith is reported by Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and Shaykh al-Albani mentions it, rahimahullah, in Silsila al-Sahihah, hadith number 199. So this hadith actually came in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed in more than one place, and the wording of it is slightly different in one place from another, but even if there's some taqdeem and ta'akhir, like there's some places where the wording, one word came ahead of another word, when the other narration came after the other word. But it's no different wording, it's just like some slight yani arrangement of the words. So the Shaykh says, not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to supplicate by his names and his sifat and his tawheed, and the Prophet also taught people to do so. He said, rather, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ أُمَّتَهُ أَنْ يَتَوَسَّلُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِعُمُومِ أَسْمَاهِ الْحُسْنَى. That the Prophet ﷺ used to teach his ummah to seek nearness to Allah by his beautiful names, his perfect and beautiful names generally, by the names generally. Not just specifically by a particular name, but even yani you can use yani supplicate to Allah by his names in general, or by all of his names. بِعُمُومِ أَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is the hadith that Al-Imam Ibn Kathir alluded to when he said that this hadith entails or it contains a proof that Allah's names are not limited to the 99 that a person might know. Because the Prophet ﷺ is not telling us that whoever, yani ahsaha, whoever enumerated these names, that they will enter Jannah unless it's possible for a person to learn them. That means they have to be somewhere where we can get them, even if we have to work to find them, but it's possible that there are names that are available. Shaykh is saying, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir is saying, that there are many names of Allah that's possible for all the people to know, and then there are names that is not possible for anyone to know, that no one knows except Allah. He said this hadith is a proof of that. This is the entirety of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no one who has been afflicted with hum or hazan. In some of the narration it says huzan. And even in this narration it mentions instead of hazan, huzan. In the second part and in the last part of the hadith it mentions the word huzan. And in any case the meaning is the same. But here it came in the Muslim of Imam Ahmed that no person, ma asaba ahadan qat hammun wala hazanun or huznun, no person who is afflicted with any type of worry or sorrow or grief, sadness, and then they recited this dua except that Allah would remove it from them, their sorrow and their sadness and their grief and their worry. Allah would remove it from them if they recited this dua. He said that a person should say, Allahumma inni abduka wabnu abdika wabnu amatika. Yani, the first part, O Allah, I am your abd. Yani, the abd could either be the one who is subjected to the master completely. Or it may mean, and this is what, inshallah, the meaning is here, the abid, the one who is worshipping Allah willingly, consciously. Not just a person who is subjected to the power of somebody over them, but rather the one who is, yani, voluntarily submitting and subjecting themselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-abid. So the abd has two meanings. One of the meanings is the person who is subjected by force and compulsion, and the other meaning is the one who worships Allah because he's a believer. He said, I am your abd, and I am the son of your abd. Yani meaning, my father is your abd, and I am the son of your female yani amma, yani my mother. Nasiyati biyadika. My nasiya, yani my forelock, yani the meaning the, here is symbolic of meaning of referring to what? Person who has control. Nasiyati biyadik. Yani my nasiya, my forelock is in your hand. You have complete control of my life. Madin fiya hukmuk. Your judgment or your ruling, yani is executed with me. Yani what you rule and what you judge is going to be executed. adlun fiya qada'uk, and what you have decreed in the divine decree, yani concerning me, is just. Is just, is fair. I accept it completely. Then he said, after mentioning this introductory, now he said, what? As'aluka bikulli ismin huwa lak. Bikulli ism huwa lak. I ask you, supplicate to you by every name that belongs to you. Sammayta bihi nafsik, that you have named yourself with. Yani here is the shahid where the shaykh is saying that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to call on him by his names generally, by all of his names. Because he's saying in this supplication, what? I ask you by every name that belongs to you with which you have named yourself. With which you have named yourself. And here is also an allusion to the fact that we can't give Allah names. But rather the names of Allah, names he has named himself with. And I can't just make up a name, sounds good. Like one man in America, he said Allah is the divine mind. And he just made that name up. It's not in the Quran, it's not in the Sunnah, he gave Allah that name. And his followers, they accepted it. The divine mind. Sounds good. Yani, logical thinking sounds like a divine mind. It's not from revelation though. And from the principles and the rules, and we might not have a chance to talk about that tonight, from the rules of Asma wa Sifat, yani, is that the names of Allah are all tawqifiyya. Yani, they're based upon revelation. Nobody can make up these names. And also, what is alluded to here, from the rules of Asma wa Sifat, is that the names of Allah, all of them are husna. They're all perfect and beautiful names. And also from the rules of Asma wa Sifat that we already alluded to here is that the names of Allah are not limited to 99, but Allah has many more names than that. And these are some of the principles that the scholars of Sunnah teach about, and what we need to know about Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. So from amongst them is that, yani the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. They stop at the revelation. We don't get names from other than the revelation. So he said, I ask you by every name that belongs to you, that you have named yourself with. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكَ, or a name that you has taught to one from amongst your creation. Could be a prophet, could be a messenger, could be a righteous person that Allah gave a name to, gave them one of his names that he didn't tell everybody else. Yani, أَوْ أَنْزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ, or from those names which you have revealed in your book that's accessible to everybody. He said, أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ, or also those names which you possess alone to the exclusion of everyone else. So I'm asking you by every name that belongs to you with which you have named yourself, whether it's from that which is available to everybody, revealed in the book, or that which only a certain one or some servants from amongst Allah he has given to them that's not available to everybody, and then there are names which are not available to anyone that are known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I ask you by all of your names, those which are known to everybody, known to somebody, known to nobody except Allah, I ask you by all of your names, and taj'al, and this is the point here, what are we asking for with these names? And taj'ala al-Qur'ana rabi'a qalbi, wa nura sadri, wa jila huzni, wa zahaba hammi. That I ask you, O Allah, by your names, to make the Qur'an the spring of my heart, and the light of my chest. And that which, yani, removes my huzn, my sadness and grief and sorrow. Wa dhahaba hammi, and that which takes away my worry and grief. Yani, huzn, some of the scholars said, is generally used in reference to that which already happened. And ham is that which didn't happen yet. A person is worried about something. He said, then Allah will remove that from them. Yani, nobody would, yani, supplicate with this to make the Quran the spring of their heart and the light of their chest, and that which removes their sadness, and that which removes their worry and grief, illa azhaba Allah hammahu wa huznahu wa abdalahu makanahu farha. Except that Allah would remove their ham and their huzn, their sadness and their grief and their sorrow, he will remove it from them, if they supplicated with this supplication, and he will replace it in his place with happiness, with joy. That's the end of the main part of the hadith. Then the narrator said, فَقِيلَ, yani, so the narrator of the hadith is saying, so it was said, Ya Rasulullah, أَلَا نَتَعَلَّمُهَا, O Messenger of Allah, shall we not learn this, these words? And the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ سَمِيَهَا أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَهَا, yani, it is incumbent, it is befitting, it is expected, yani, that whoever heard this dua, that they should learn it. So right there, alhamdulillah, yani we have been told to learn it. So it might be a little long, but yani, if a person takes the time and realizes the importance of it, yani, this is not yani, just the words that we can make up ourselves. And from the importance of it is that the Prophet ﷺ taught us in this dua to call on Allah by all of his names. Yani, those which are known and those which are not known and can't be known. And then, after this, the Shaykh gives two more examples, but these are related to Tawheed and Iman. He gives two more examples because remember Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah in the beginning he said, يعني التوصل إلى الله بأسماء وصفاته وتوهيده. So what has preceded in those examples in reference to the أسماء and صفات of Allah? And finally he mentions the Tawheed of Allah. And he says here, وقول الإمام ابن قيم رحمه الله وتوهيده. The saying or the statement of الإمام ابن قيم رحمه الله, يعني seeking nearness to Allah, the means of nearness to Allah by his Tawheed, meaning يشرع ويندب التوصل إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بهذه الوسيلة العظيمة وهي توحيده وإيمانه والإيمان به عز وجل. He said, so the meaning here of this word being attached to the end of the sentence وتوحيده, it means that it is also legislated يشرع, and it is يندب, يعني it's mandub, it's مستحب, it's beloved, it's praiseworthy, it's commendable that a person also seek nearness to Allah, يعني التوصل إلى الله بهذه الوسيلة العظيمة, with this magnificent, great wasila. Wasila is a means to achieve something, to obtain some good or to repulse some harm. He said, so it is legislated in the Sharia, and it is commendable or praiseworthy that a person seek nearness to Allah with this magnificent, tremendous, great means of nearness to Allah, and it is his tawheed, and having al-iman bihi, yani having توحيد in Allah and Iman in Allah عز وجل فهذه من أعظم الوسائل. He said this is from من أعظم الوسائل, it is from the greatest of the means of nearness to Allah, بل هي أعظمها وأجلها, rather it's not from amongst the greatest means of nearness to Allah, rather it is the greatest means, it is the greatest means and the most lofty and noble means of nearness to Allah, that is seeking tawassul, seeking nearness to Allah by his tawheed, by iman in Allah and his tawheed. Yani that a person recognizes that Allah, yani, is the one that is the creator and the owner and the possessor and the controller and the only one that has the right to be worshipped. Having iman in Allah, believing in Allah and in and his tawheed, yani jazakallahu khair, believing in Allah and then giving Allah his exclusive rights, yani giving Allah his exclusive rights, meaning singling out Allah alone for that which is his exclusive rights that are not to be shared with anyone else. And that is the Tawheed of Ubudiyyah, yani that Allah is the only one that deserves your worship, and the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, that there are beautiful, perfect names that belong to Allah alone, and perfect qualities that belong to Allah alone. So this is the greatest means, and it is the most lofty, yani exalted, sublime of all of the means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh mentions two examples of this, yani seeking nearness to Allah by iman and tawheed. So he gives one example from the Quran, which we have alluded to previously, and which we're going to come back and discuss in detail, yani in a few weeks inshallah when we do the next course. This is going to be from amongst the first ayat or supplications that we're going to be dealing with, yani from the supplications of the believers that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. This is going to be from amongst the first of them, and this is a very important reference that the Shaykh has given here. But we'll discuss it in detail in the future. So the Shaykh says, وَمِن شَوَاهِدْ هَذَا التَّوَصُّلْ مَا ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِن دُعَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, yani from those yani witnesses, those things that bear witness, that show or indicate this type of tawakkul, is that which Allah has mentioned in the dua of the believers in Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, 193rd ayat. Third surah, 193rd ayat. And these ayats start at 191, 192, 193, and 194, where yani the name Rabb is mentioned repeatedly. He says, so from those things that bear witness to the legitimacy and the correctness of seeking nearness to Allah by his iman and tawheed is that which is mentioned in the dua of the believers in Surah Ali Imran, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ يعني, O our Rabb, indeed we have heard a caller calling to iman. Yani the Prophet ﷺ. We have heard a caller calling, inviting to iman. What iman? An aminu bi rabbikum. Yani to have iman in your Rabb. We have heard a caller calling us to iman. And then Allah mentions that in their dua, it became clear that what iman he's calling them to? Iman in your Rabb. An aminu bi rabbikum. Then they said, فَآمَنَّا فَآمَنَّا فَآمَنَّا. And we heard a caller calling to iman, to have iman in our Rabb. And then as a result of that call, we responded and we believed. As a result of that call, we responded and we believed. Now, since we believed, we're calling on you based on this iman in you. We're calling on you to answer our dua. And they said, رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَا الْعَبْرَاءِ. So, O our Rabb, yani forgive us our sins and expiate for us yani our yani سَيِّئَات. Some of the scholars yani have distinguished between ذُنُوب and سَيِّئَات, that major sins and minor sins. And there may be other explanations as well. And yani take our souls amongst the أبراء, the righteous, the pious, and the people of goodness. So this ayah is a clear indication of what? That it was their acknowledgement that they were called to iman and that they believed. And they, based on that, we are asking you to forgive us our sins and our shortcomings and to yani take our souls, yani to cause us to die amongst the righteous. So this is also yani, this is an indication of yani that it, that from the great, that the greatest means of seeking nearness to Allah and the greatest means of a person's dua being accepted is that they call on Allah based on his, on the iman that you have in Allah. And the execution of that iman requires us to establish a tawheed, because true iman, it has to be with tawheed. Yani the iman that benefits is the iman that is with tawheed. Otherwise, there are many people who claim to have iman and they worship other than Allah, even from amongst the people who identify themselves as Muslims. The final example that the Shaykh gives is also another supplication that we have to memorize. Or we have to have it on a piece of paper and keep it with us all the time so we can read from it. It's okay. A person can read from a piece of paper when you supplicate to Allah. It's okay. And if you found difficulty memorizing it, then have it on a piece of paper. It's okay. It's okay. But if you can memorize it, then in case you lose the paper, you're still good. And you don't know what might happen, where you might be, and you don't have a piece of paper. You don't have a book, you don't have something. Then what do then? I've been in that situation before. That's when you have to have something in your memory. That's when you have to have something in your memory. Now, and I'm sure I'm not the only person who experienced it. The Shaykh, he says, وَلَمَّا سَمِيَا النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ رَجُلًا يَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ أَنِّي أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ الْأَحَدُ الصَّمَدُ الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Yani, so when the Prophet ﷺ heard a man saying these words, this dua, which probably you have noticed something about this dua, right? Did you notice anything about it in Arabic? Surah Al-Ikhlas. This dua is Surah Al-Ikhlas. Is Surah Al-Ikhlas. And by the way, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of Surah Al-Ikhlas, he said, هَذِهِ السُّورَةُ مُشْتَمِلَةٌ عَلَى تَوْهِيدِ الْأَسْمَى وَالصِّفَاتِ. This surah is composed of Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, Surah Al-Ikhlas. So here, this example that the Shaykh has given in this dua is an example, clearly it's an example of what? It's an example of calling Allah by His names and His sifat. Because this surah is Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. This surah is composed of Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. But in the introduction to the Tawheed of Asma wa sifat, There's also the acknowledgement of Iman and Tawheed in general. So the supplication, the man was saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah. Oh Allah, I ask you for what I'm asking for based on the fact that I bear witness that you are Allah. Based on what? My Iman, that you are Allah. I ask you based on this. Bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah. That you and you alone are Allah. And then he said, La ilaha illa anta. And there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except you. The Tawheed. And then he said, Al-Ahad As-Samad, the names of Allah, the one, As-Samad, the one who is free of any need, that doesn't need anyone or anything, while everything in the creation is in need of him. And then he mentions from his sifat, yani in this dua, Allah, the man mentions what, how Allah described himself. Allah describes himself in Surah Al-Ikhlas, Kul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, with those names. And then he said, Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad, the one who he didn't give birth to anyone, nor was he given birth to. Or in the old English they said he neither begat nor was begotten. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad, and there was not for him any kufuwan. Yani there's no one that is comparable, equal to Allah. Yani in those things that are exclusive to him, yani that is in the Tawheed. So here this man, yani mentions the Iman in Allah, and that Allah is the only one that deserves worship, and then he mentions his name is Ahad and As-Samad, and then he mentions his descriptions that he is the one who doesn't give birth, nor is he born, and he is the one who doesn't have any equal, or anyone that is comparable to him. فَقَالَ So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that man saying that, he said, لَقَدْ سَعَلْتَ اللَّهِ بِالْإِسْمِ الَّذِي إِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. He said, indeed, he said to the man, indeed, you have asked Allah by the name, which if Allah is asked by that name for anything, he gives it. And if he is called upon, supplicated to by that name, he answers. Then there's no doubt that this is yani the dua that we need to be saying regularly. Yani it contains within it the name of Allah, which if he's called upon by it, he will answer. And if he's asked for anything, he will give it. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah says that he mentions in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud that it is Sahih, authentic. Naam. Okay, so this is the end of Annie, what we wanted to present for today. And I'm just going to close, since we have like 2 minutes remaining for our hour. I'm going to just remind us of the importance of some of these supplications. That it's part of our task is to learn yani the manners, the adab, yani the guidelines, the rules, the obligatory matters that are necessary for us to yani call to mind and to act upon when we are supplicating. And the other part of it, as we'll see yani in the remaining part of this book, the last matter that's mentioned is to supplicate to Allah with those supplications which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that this supplication contains the name of Allah, which if he is called upon by it, he will answer. And if he is asked for something, he will give. Knowing those supplications is important, because yani if everything else is in order, then we know that Allah is going to answer, that Allah is going to respond. So memorizing some of these supplications is important. Yani a person can't say, I'm too old, I don't know Arabic, or whatever other excuses that we might make. Rather, it's incumbent upon us to learn it, to memorize it if possible, to read it from a piece of paper, from a book, if we're not able to memorize, or until we're able to memorize. And I would say that every one of us can memorize. Even if you need some help, then ask for help. Don't yani ask help from Allah first, and then yani inshallah Allah will appoint some human being to help you, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Memorize these supplications, supplicate to them, try to learn their meanings, and then let's use them yani with full sincerity, and consciousness of the reality of our need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He does answer the one who calls upon Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any comments or corrections or questions, we'll take the corrections first now, and after we dismiss, inshallah, if there are any comments or any questions, we'll take the questions afterwards. But if there's something that needs to be addressed, in terms of something that may have been said mistakenly, please get it now before we close off this broadcast. Now,
did you say four locks mean control?
Okay, questions we'll take afterwards, inshallah. The forelock is like the hair that's in the forehead, in the front of your hair. Or it may also mean the forehead as well. It means both of them. What is intended is that, nafiyati biyadik means that I'm under your complete control. That's the meaning of it. You are in control of me absolutely, totally. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khairah.